few weeks looking at the letter of Paul to the Galatians. And in our shortened time this morning, we are going to begin to look at the next section of the letter, which is verses 6 to 10 of chapter 1. We've seen that these people to whom Paul is writing are the members of the churches which he founded on his first missionary journey. These churches are to be found in the cities of Asia Minor, in the southern part of Asia Minor. If you look at a map and you find Cyprus and you go immediately north, it is that area around the coast and inland from there where Paul went on his first missionary journey. That is where he founded churches, and it was these churches who were troubled by people who we know today as Judaizers. They were people with a Pharisaical background who went into these churches and they were saying, unless you are circumcised, unless you keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so Paul is writing this letter to counter that teaching. This was written before the Council of Jerusalem that we read about in Acts 15, where this subject was discussed. And what Paul has to say here was vindicated. The council came to exactly the same conclusion, because it is God's truth that we are dealing with, and God does not have one truth for one people and one truth for another people. All truth is the same. And as we come here, we find in verse 6 that Paul comments on the fact not only that they have listened to these false teachers, but they have believed the false teachers and have followed after them. And he speaks very strongly about them and about the false teachers. I marvel, he says in verse 6, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. The Judaizers were coming along and they were saying, the message that you have heard from Paul is true, but it is incomplete. We need to add to what Paul said this extra thing, circumcision and obeying the law of Moses. So Paul is not wrong, he has just not told you everything. You need this extra message as well. But Paul does not see it that way. Paul says it is not part of the same gospel. This is a different gospel. The message is a different message that they have given to you. And you have believed them. And so you have believed a different message. It is not the gospel message you have believed. He says, this other gospel, it is not another. There is only one gospel of Christ. There is not one gospel of Christ and I've given you a bit of it and they've given you a bit more. No, there is one gospel of Christ and I have given you that one gospel of Christ. These people have come along and tried to pervert that one gospel by adding to it that which Christ has not given. And so this is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. But I want you to understand, says Paul, how serious this is. This is not just a matter of opinion. This is not, well, that's what you believe, but I believe something different. This is extremely serious. Now, we live in an age that does not believe in truth. We are now living in what is called a postmodern world. And you think, just a minute, modern means here, now, today. So how can we be living after today? Well, it's just the name they've given it. It doesn't really make sense. But the modern world is reckoned to have started in the 18th century and stretched up until fairly recently. And in the modern world, everything was rational. And people looked at the Bible and they said, it is not rational to believe in miracles. The Bible talks about miracles. Do we see miracles happening today? And they say no. Do we see men being raised from the dead today? No. Therefore, these things never happened then. It's rationalistic. It's not, in fact, rational, because they are dismissing the accounts of people who were there at the time and saw these things and recorded them and saying these people are liars. And so we have had a period of rationalism. Everything must be understood on the basis of rationalistic ideas. And the scriptures were dismissed as a result. And now we have come on into what is called the postmodern era, where people don't accept that anymore. Now, this began, well, you can probably trace its origins back to the 1950s, and it certainly began to spring up in the 1960s, with the introduction into Western thinking of Eastern religions. Those of you old enough, you remember the Beatles? In 1967, they went to India, and they met with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, an Indian mystic. And they followed, briefly, his teachings. And you listened to their music, and they put across in their music Indian ideas and ways of thinking. And it wasn't just the Beatles, it affected all of contemporary music. And so people began to think that the way to look at the world was no longer a rational way, because people said, look at what rationalism has done for us. We have had two world wars. That's no good. And now we live under the threat of nuclear annihilation. We're going to be destroyed by the bomb. That's what rationalism has done for us. And people began to look elsewhere for meaning in life. They knew that on the basis of rationalism, life was meaningless. You've heard me say before that if this world is all that there is, and if there is no God, then all that you and I are machines. We are just very complicated pieces of chemistry. And when I wave my arms around, it's not because I have decided to wave my arms around. It's because certain chemical reactions have taken place in my brain, which just happens to cause my arms to move. And it's got nothing to do with something that we call I. I don't exist. I am a machine. Just chemistry. And people say, but no. That's not right. I am someone. I am important. I have value. I have significance. I have worth. But rationally and logically, people cannot see how that can be true. So they look for meaning outside of rationalism. They have already dismissed the scriptures because the rationalists have said the scriptures aren't true. Well, why bother going to the scriptures then? Also, they have looked at the effects of rationalistic theology on the churches. And they see in the churches, they say, churches are full of hypocrites. I noticed a newspaper article yesterday, a famous man, a publicist, Max Clifford, you might have heard of him, saying the church is full of hypocrites. It needs to change. It needs to put on a different image. What he's really saying is that the professing church, most of which denies the Bible, puts over this image of being hypocrites. And that's what the world sees, and the world says, well, there's no point going to the church, because the church, they're all hypocrites. There's no message there for us. And so they look elsewhere. And so we see from the 50s and 60s in particular, the growth of what is known as the New Age movement. And you see people saying that they must have this and that and the other of various odd devices. Those of you who follow football will have heard of Ron Saunders. Ron Saunders is into this. If you go to his house, he has crystals hanging from the ceiling. He has little pyramids and all sorts of weird things, because he believes that this is the way to contact reality, and that somehow these things do him some good. We had an interesting discussion, but I didn't get anywhere near persuading. He is not uncommon. He is not unusual. In London, they have a festival of mind and spirit, and it is all new age thinking and practices. We have seen a resurgence of witchcraft in this country, where people speak about being white witches and casting spells and trying to do people good. We see a resurgence of paganism. And we must make a distinction between dear pagan and pagans. Paganism. That system of thought and practice which goes back deep in the mists of time in this country, where people worship trees and things, and that by doing things in a certain way, by putting your bed into a particular position, you will sleep better. But by going and dancing around trees, you will do some good. And there's all manner of other things. We've heard Dr. Adrian speaking about the witch doctors and the animism of Madagascar. And some years ago, people would have looked upon that and felt sorry for the people and said how backward they are. And yet we are seeing exactly that sort of religion coming into Britain, because people are dissatisfied with what they have been told. Rationally, logically, you would assume, oh, I can't accept that. Instead of going back to the Word of God, they'll go anywhere. And they look for anything to give their lives meaning, and yet it's all here. But they have gone after another gospel, another message. Anything except the gospel of Christ. There is no other gospel. There is only the good news about Christ. When you go to Madagascar, you're going to find out how much it costs, so that you can all save up and go, even if it's only for a few days. But when you go to Madagascar, you will get to Mandritsara and you will see the hospital. And if you understood the language, you would see on one of the towers of the hospital, on the water tower, Good News Hospital. Because they proclaim the good news about Christ, who delivers people from sin, from superstition, from witchcraft, from irrationality. Because there is only one gospel, there is only one message, which is good news. The good news about the Son of God coming into the world to die to save sinners. What we have here is Paul defending the truth. Now we must be careful when we speak about truth, because some people will say this. They say, oh fine, well that's true for you. That's not true for me. What they're saying is, it's irrational. There's no basis for it. But if you want to believe that and it gives meaning to your life, that's fine. But I believe something else. I believe that this pink elephant that appears to me from time to time, that is my God, and I will serve that. You think, well, that's crazy. Well, I think you're crazy. But it doesn't matter, because as long as it gives your life meaning, that's all that matters. You know, when Paul talks about this being true, he means it's true. Let's take some silly examples. You say to a child, don't stick your fingers into that electricity socket or you will get electrocuted and possibly die. What would you say to the child if it turned around and said, oh, that's true for you, it's not true for me? You want to believe that? Fine, but it doesn't really matter. I believe something different. So I'll stick my fingers in the socket. Stupid, isn't it? But that's what these people are saying. Well, Christianity is true for you. You're walking near the edge of a cliff and someone comes running towards the edge of the cliff and you're like, stop, stop! You'll go over the edge and you'll get smashed to pieces on the rocks below. Oh, it's all right. That might be true for you, but it's not true for me. I believe something different. It's all irrational, it doesn't matter. And so he goes running off the edge of the cliff and splat on the rocks below. Stupid. But that's what people are saying. When we say Christianity is true, we mean it is really true. We are saying that when people die, they do go and stand before God. Really. In just the same way as if you commit an offence and break the law and you are arrested by the police, you will stand before the judge. So when you die, you will go and stand before the judge. This is reality. It's not my opinion, it is true. It will happen. And there is only one way of escape, and that is to come to Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And that is why we are so keen to propagate this truth. There is no alternative. This is reality. Only Jesus Christ can save from sin. And it's not Jesus Christ plus something else and something else, as the Judaizers were teaching. It is only by trusting in Jesus Christ. Only by surrendering your life to him. Only by submitting to him. There's no other way. None at all. There is no other gospel. There is only one gospel which is true. And we must believe that gospel or we will perish. Now you do hear people saying, it's dreadful, you're having a meeting today in which you're encouraging people to give money for this hospital missionary work in Madagascar when the people already have their own religion. Why do you want to go and upset the people? Why do you want to change their culture? How dreadful that we should dare to change their culture. What's been happening in this country in the last 50 years? We've seen a dramatic change in the culture of this country. And if you were to stand up and say, no, let's go back to where we were, you'd be accused of all manner of evil things. You'd be called, at the very least, a racist. Because one of the reasons why our culture has changed is because we have had much greater contact with the world. And many more people from many different races have come to this land. And the culture has changed as a result. And what are we to do? Say, no, send them all back. Let's get our culture back to where it was. What would people say of us then? Dreadful. But when we want to go and preach the good news, the truth about Christ in foreign lands, and we're told, no, you can't do that. Their culture is fixed, it is sacrosanct, you must not change it. Well, that seems to me just a little bit inconsistent. But let me also point out to you the dishonesty of these Judaizers. They were not telling the truth. They were adding their own opinions and ideas contrary to the Word of God. Paul's attitude was different. In 2 Corinthians 4 he says this, therefore, since we have this ministry from God, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so when people preach the gospel, they do not come along and by subterfuge, by deceit, by dishonesty, seek to convince you to join the church. What they do when people truly preach the gospel is to say, this is what we're about. This is what we want to communicate to you. This is why we want to communicate it to you. We are Christians. We believe the word of God. The word of God tells us that you are a sinner and you're on your way to hell. And if you don't hear that and you don't believe that, you will end up in hell. You must come to Christ as the only way of salvation. Now, I was once told off by someone for speaking to a friend of theirs about the gospel. This person was supposed to be a Christian. And they were concerned that their friend became a Christian. And I spoke to their friend and said, look, you're a sinner. And unless you repent, you will perish.
and said, you'll put him off by talking about sin. How else is he going to become a Christian? Is it somehow going to be by some spiritual osmosis, just by sitting next to a Christian?
We have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The hospital in Mandritsara is there for two reasons. Really, they are one. They are concerned for the physical health of the people of the area. And they care for these people because they are made in the image and likeness of God. But secondly, but more importantly, they are concerned for these people's eternal well-being. They do not want these people to end up in hell. They want them to know the joy of salvation. They want them to know the forgiveness of sins. It only comes through Christ. And so they declare openly, come to the hospital for your medical problems, but when you come, we will preach the gospel to you. That is honest. That is straightforward. When we invite people here, we invite them here because we want them to hear and to believe the gospel of Christ. No deceit. Nothing underhand. We are very open and plain about it. Going from door to door. When you knock on people's doors, you say, we're from the Quinter Church. We want to tell you about the gospel of Christ. We don't stand there saying, what do you think about the situation in the world? Do you think that there will ever be an end to war? As the cults do. They never come out and say, look, we're so-called Jehovah's Witnesses and we want to lead you astray. They go all around the houses. They're deceitful. But the gospel is plain and free and open. And our concern, and the concern of all the people labouring in the hospital in Mandritsara, is to propagate God's truth for the salvation of sinners. That is why we are concerned to support them. We are far more wealthy than they are. They have difficulty in carrying on the work that they need to do. Because of funds, things are slow because they have to raise the funds. And that is why we appeal to you to give to this work of the gospel in Mandritsara in order that the work there might proceed as we hope and pray it proceeds here. Unfettered, unrestricted, they are able to get on and proclaim the gospel. And I suspect that they are far more fruitful in their gospel work than we are. In spite of us having more resources than they do. Well, let us take this to heart and to be sure that we believe that which is true. Just like sticking your finger into an electricity socket or walking off the end of a cliff. The gospel is true. Let's be sure we believe it. Salvation in Christ alone. And let's seek to propagate it. And let's seek to help the people in Mandritsara as much as we possibly can. Let me remind you once again, anything in the boxes at the back today, either box, will go to help the work in Mandritsara. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that you have given to us the gospel, that it is not veiled, but it is freely revealed by your grace. We thank you that you have told us clearly and plainly what your truth is. We pray that you will keep us from being deceived by false gospels, by false messages. And we pray, our gracious God, for your great blessing upon Dr. Adrian and the work in Mandritsara, that there might be great blessing comes upon that place. Help us to be sacrificial in our giving to the work of the gospel there, and that we might hear good things coming back to us from that place of people being converted, as well as people being healed of their diseases. Our gracious God, hear us now, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.